ॐ पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः
ॐ दट् ब्रह्मन् इज़् इन्फिनिट् and this universe is also infinite. The infinite proceeds from the infinite. Taking the infinitude of the infinite universe, it remains as the infinite Brahman alone. Om, peace, peace, peace be unto all. In our last class, we have just completed the last section of the first chapter of the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, the sixth section. And this is a summary of the entire Upanishad, we can say. So what did we discuss? What does this sixth section really try to teach us? What is the world? What does it consist of? This is the topic. So this section answers that God manifests as three forms, which we call the creation, the world. And it is also called Ukta Brahmana. What is Ukta? The final cause from which everything arises. In this section, these three manifestations of Brahman are mentioned. What are they? Name, form, and action. And where from the forms are coming? From a particular source, and that is called Chakshu. Chakshu means eye. We have to understand, Chakshu means actually formlessness. Unmanifested form is the root cause of every form. As an example, clay is the unformed form, formless form of every form. And every form should have a name, specific name, to distinguish it, separate it from every other form, and that is called name. But every name, Rama, Krishna, John, Jesus, Buddha, etc., these are all special manifestations distinguishable by our mind. But there is one root cause to every name. That is called Shabda. That is called Shabda Brahma. Every name that we can understand, remember, even in future, every new form will be given a new name. And all these names are manifestations of one Shabda. Shabda means sound. And that sound, in its unmanifest form, is called Brahman. So this is the Ukta. The Ukta of names is Shabda. The Ukta of forms is that formless Avyakta. And then the third one is called Karma. Every form will have a name, and every name and form is called an object. As soon as you hear the name, remember the name, immediately the form comes, the object comes into view, and regarding that object, what is the utility of that object? As soon as you remember, for example, the name pot. So, pot is a small object where you can cook food, store materials, or even store water, etc. As soon as you see an object called glass, oh, this is meant for drinking water, wine, etc. So, this is the object. Every object is nothing but a combination of form, name, and utility, prayojana. And the whole universe, whole creation, is nothing but a combined manifestations of these. Every single object will have nama, rupa, and karma. So, this is, we have to understand, That is what Sri Ramakrishna says. What is in a beautiful body? After all, flesh, blood, urine, stool, sinews, bones, etc. That is true. Whether it is an insect or an animal or even a tree, in its own way, don't ask whether any tree has got a bone. Yes, the meaning is that which sustains part of the tree, that is called the bone, roots, etc. So, every object is nothing but name, form, and utility. All the three combined is called body. And this last section, having only three mantras, tells us that for us, what is the most important reality? Each one of us. You ask yourself, who am I? I am the body. How many people even dare to think, I am not the body, I am the mind? So, this body is given a special name temporarily. It is called Satyam. Satyam means what is the highest reality to all ignorant people like us. That is called Satyam. And this Satyam covers up. What does it cover? Immortality. So what is this immortality? Called Amrutam. What is this Amrutam? It is called mind. What is that mind? Why is it called Amrutam? Because there are two ways to interpret it. One way is this physical body comes and goes. How many times? Millions of times. But the mind means the four koshas, prana, mana, vijnana, and ananda. They endure almost a long, long time. How long? Until we obtain atmagnanam, self-knowledge, the knowledge that I am neither the body nor the mind. Until that time, this mind lasts. And the evolution mainly takes place in the mind. The mind evolves. That means its understanding becomes clearer and even more clear with every birth until the person, the jiva, individual, takes birth as a human being, evolves into a cultured human being, does acquire more sattva until he acquires much of the sattva guna, which is called the caste called Brahmana. Brahmana means full of sattva. Even among Brahmanas, there would be degrees of difference. But we are talking about a Brahmana who has become a sannyasi. Who is a sannyasi? Who thinks? Whose thought? Manobuddhyahankara chittani naham shivoham shivoham. One who thinks, who knows that I am Brahman, I am Atman, I am Shiva, which means I am not body and mind complex. That mind is called Amritam. And because this mind alone leads one to both ignorance and liberation. First ignorance, gradually ignorance becomes less, light of knowledge manifests more and more, until finally one attains to that highest reality. What is that reality? I am that reality. I am Brahman. I am Atman. Means I am Brahman, not Brahman as separated. So, this practically tells us what is called Adhyasa. What is this Adhyasa? Superimposition. What is the superimposition? Each one of us forgetting that I am Brahman and identifying ourselves with this body. And this Adhyasa slowly has to be gotten rid of. What is the way? As just now we mentioned, what is our greatest identity? Body. Once a person succeeds in getting rid of this idea, I am the body, he progresses in spiritual life.
For such a person, it will be easier to get rid of the other four koshas also. Once a person succeeds in getting rid of, means not destroying, means developing, that I am not the body, I am not the prana, I am not the mind, I am not the vijnana, buddhi, I am not the anandamaya kosha, that complete detachment is called spiritual progress. And remember, all these things have to be done only through the help of the mind. Just like where as soon as a mirror in front of us gets more and more cleaned up, the reflection automatically becomes nearer to the reality, nearer to what is in front of it. And what is in front of it is Brahman. What is the mirror? Mind. And this mind, when it is covered with five layers of deep dust, what is the worst state of the mirror? I am the body. When that is cleaned up, then the other four, the reflection becomes better. So thus, this sixth section wants to tell us that, O man, wake up. Then control your mind. What is controlling the mind? Developing more sattva, which means developing more identity with our true self and developing more dispassion, detachment from the ideas that I am the annamaya, pranamaya, etc. This is the message of the essence of the summary of the sixth section of this first chapter of the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. With this, the first chapter is over, and this first chapter is called also Madhukanda, Upadesha Kanda, and it is also called Adhyasa Kanda, Adhyaropa Kanda. What is Adhyaropa? Superimposition. Thinking that I am the body, I am the panchakoshas, etc. Only in this chapter also, we have been taught how to slowly develop detachment through discrimination and slowly progress until we have the knowledge that only one is there, that is called Brahman. There are no two things, God and the world. There are no two things, Brahman and the world. Whatever is one only. Then our eyes become pure. Then we are able to see everything is Brahman. Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma. But to come to that stage of spiritual development, first we have to know Aham Brahmasmi. And in this first chapter, we have seen that one. So this is called Adhyaropa Prakarnam. And how to get rid of it is also indicated here through some mantras, particular mantras. But here are the hints. First of all, that Sadeva Soumya. There is only one. In the fourth chapter it comes, that is in the form of unmanifest, that is Brahman. And then Aham Brahmasmi. I am Brahman. And that is the goal. How to reach that goal? So, look here, my friend, you see in front of you, and then two things are there. You feel, I am an individual. You feel, I am separate from everything else. And everybody, every conscious entity, including an amoeba, one amoeba, feels that I am distinct from other amoebas. And from every living creature, every non-living thing. But that is a avidya, ignorance, that has to be slowly gotten rid of. For that, the creation has to evolve from the inorganic. There is really nothing inorganic according to Advaita. Atman became what the modern scientists call inorganic, what we Hindus, Vedantins, we call it Panchadevata, Akasha, Vayu, Agni, Jala and Prithvi. These five are called inorganic. Slowly they manifest inorganic, as it were, evolves into organic. Then it acquires prana and it acquires special chidabhasa. I am an individual. I have a body. Even an insect has got an indirect knowledge. I am a living creature. I am separate from everything else. I have to survive. I have to protect myself. So that separation is there. But the scripture wants to tell us, really, everything is God only. Everything is Brahman only. Everything is Atma only. And for that, so gradually, the scripture wants to teach us. How does it want to teach us? This way. First of all, it says, by describing the creation, the scripture wants us to tell that, do you see, everything is changing in this world. And because it is changing, it is called mithya. But mithya is not non-existence. So by the description of this world, through the detailed process of creation, the world is described. The creation is described. Through this description, the scripture wants to tell us that it is not unreal. But through taking us to the cause, so we go from immediate, proximate cause to its cause, to its cause. For example, I am Annam. I am the Prithvi. Then I understand. I am not Prithvi. I am Jala. Then I understand. I am not waters. I am fire. I am not the fire. I am the Vayu. I am not the Vayu. I am Akasha. I am not the Akasha. All these completely merge in the final cause, Uktam. And that is called Brahman. So by saying that as long as you see separation, it is called mithya. It is ever changing. But there is something which is witnessing this ever changing phenomena, that unchanging phenomena, that is called true consciousness. So step by step, the scripture wants to tell us world is neither unreal because we experience it. Neither it is real because it is changing. So whatever is experienced but never remains the same, ever changing, that is called mithya. And the scripture slowly, once it convinces us, makes us understand anything changing is not reliable. Anything changing is called mithya. Any mithya is not reliable. And anything that is mithya must have an adhisthana. It must have a cause. It must have a support. That support is called satyam. Every mithya. For example, a wrongly perceived snake which turns out to be a rope. Without rope, there cannot be an illusion of snake. But our solution is that we have to bring light. In the light, we recognize what we thought is a snake turns out to be unchanging rope. So, a snake is called mithya. But why is it called changing? Because in semi-darkness, we can mistake it for a garland. We can mistake it for a bent stick. So, we can mistake it in so many ways. Depends upon our past, previous experiences. So, the purpose of describing the creation is slowly, gradually to lead us to our true nature, and that is the essence of this sixth section. Now, we have to conclude what is the essence of the entire this one. So, one more point I have to find out here. This body, which is our only reality, it is called Pinda. Pindanda. Our reality, Pinda. Small. Pinda means individual reality. And as soon as we use the word individual, every individual must be universal only. Here there is a subtle logic. If there is only one object in this world, that is called Brahmanda. But if there are many objects of the same species, it is called Pindanda. It is called microcosm. And microcosm must be the same as macrocosm. Microcosm in Sanskrit is called Pindanda and macrocosm is called Brahmanda. And I think one of the lectures in the Jnana Yoga of Swami Vivekananda, Swamiji, the greatest sage of any world in plain English language, he makes it clear both the microcosm and macrocosm are built on the same plan. That means they are made up of the same truth, same reality, same constituents. There is no difference. Then the essence of that lecture is, if we can understand that I am the microcosm and my nature is this. I have got consciousness, I have got body, mind. What is an individual? Body, mind, plus reflected consciousness called Chidabhasa. Where there is reflected consciousness, there must be also pure consciousness. If you want reflected light, there must be original light. So, just imagine there is sun shining and its rays are falling upon a mirror through a window and that mirror is reflecting and the room which was in dark is now being lighted up and every object becomes enveloped by the light and it is illumined. Illumination means we get the knowledge. I know so many objects are in this room. That knowledge, light reveals that knowledge. So wherever there is an individual, there must be original consciousness, there must be a mind, and when that original consciousness falls upon this mind, which is compared to a mirror, the light of the consciousness gets reflected and it illumines the body and the sense organs and the external world through the body. This subject is beautifully exposed in a beautiful small text called Drik Drishya Viveka by the great Shankaracharya. So, pure consciousness plus reflected consciousness plus body and mind is called the individual. At this moment, we are totally identified with the body and what belongs to the body. So that is called mamakara. But when we advance a little bit, then we identify slowly, I am not only the body, I am also the mind. I am mind plus body. That is a good progress. Then comes next step. Actually, I am the body. The whole universe is nothing but my thoughts. Every object, including my body, is a thought in my mind. Not to speak of external objects in the external world. And that is how slowly we progress. We learn to see this world in higher and higher light. Two things happen there. As we progress, then we expand and then we identify with higher and higher degree of reality. From Annamaya to Pranamaya to Manomaya to Vijnanamaya to Anandamaya, etc. So in the another model of this image, from the body to the mind and to the Anandamaya Kosha. So this is called from the gross body to the subtle body to the causal body. And then when we have clear concept of these three, i.e. objectify these three, and whatever we objectify, that's not me. That is called Turiyavastha. This is the essential exposition in the Mandukya Upanishad, which we have seen already. So, this is what the first chapter wants to tell. Adhyaropa, superimposition, the very word, it means that is not the reality. That is where we are now. So, slowly, by following the path shown by this Upanishad, by every Upanishad, every scripture of every religion, we slowly progress towards God. That, and once we progress, ultimately we reach God. That is called paradise, kingdom of heaven, nirvana, or aham brahmasmi state. So, let us now try to analyze. By negating this individual body, and that is the first step, sthula sharira, then we have to identify. The individual cannot remain without identification. So he goes to the next step, which is identification with the sukshma sharira. And then comes identification with the karana sharira, which we call the experience of deep sleep, wherein body mind are completely negated. We are not even aware of that. Pure bliss, but for a limited by time and causation. So this is how a person, he learns how to look upon all the three states as objects of experience, and the fundamental principle of Advaita Vedanta is whatever I experience, whatever I objectify is not me. Then who am I? So, this beyond the three shariras, beyond three states of experiences, avastha traya, beyond all the three states of avasthantara, I am somebody beyond avastha atita. That's why it is called turiya. So, this is how the negation is to be accomplished slowly and slowly. So, now I will try to summarize entire what is called first chapter as much as possible. The first chapter, it is called Upadesha Kanda. It is also called Madhukanda. And there are six sections. Each section is called a Brahmana. And the first three sections, they are to elevate our mind by taking support of three individual objects. We have to expand our mind, identify ourselves with the larger whole. The first such object is called Ashva. Take a horse as an example. Contemplate upon the different limbs of that horse and imagine that the whole universe is represented in the form of a horse. So, the head is this. The different parts are these. This is called Virat Upasana. Upasana means contemplation. Contemplation means this is not an individual horse. It represents the whole universe. So, this Virat meditation is done upon an object temporarily taken as a support. And this is called Ashwamedha Yaga. And the second section takes the same goal, but it takes Agni Brahmanam. It is called Agni Brahmanam. Take fire as an object and identify it with universal thing. Agni Virat Upasana. The third is called Udgita Brahmanam, or here also fire or prana is taken as Virat. So this is how we expand our mind. What is an upasana? That which breaks our narrow individuality, makes us identify with the entire universe. That is the purpose of upasana or contemplation. In any language, for example, in Christianity, when they say mass, then the body of the Christ, this is my blood, this is my flesh. So the bread and the wine represent. So remember, this is called alambana or support. So it is not the physical bread. That's why as soon as a devotee consumes a thin wafer of this bread, and he feels, my flesh has become Christ's flesh. My blood has become Christ's blood. That means I have become Christ. And who is Christ? I am the Son of God. And who is the Son of God? I am manifestation of the unmanifestable God, as it were. So that is called upasana, contemplation. Then in the fourth section, we see it is called Purusha Vidha Brahmanam. So what is Purusha Vidha Brahmana? He is all-pervading reality. Here, Hiranyagarbha, or the Saguna Brahma, is glorified as the great creator. Then for that purpose, how do we understand this whole universe as manifestation of Brahman? So first, Atman became, according to the Taittiriya visualization, the five elements. But here, it is said, God created, he became Manu, and the other, he divided himself into male and female, Manu and Shatarupa, and he became humans, he became cows, he became goats, he became horses, he became everything. What does it mean? That means, who is the root cause? So anything that is made up of this dough becomes different forms of cakes. Clay becomes different pots. Ornaments are nothing but manifestations of the formless gold, etc., etc. So these created beings are divided into four castes: Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra, with different duties in life for them. And that is done according to the manifestation of one of the three gunas, Sattva, Rajas and Tamas. Then it is also told a jiva lives in his own world and he becomes the enjoyer, he becomes the enjoyed. When he enjoys the world, he is called the enjoyer. When the world enjoys him, then he becomes the object. So he becomes both an enjoyer and an object of enjoyment. That is part of the superimposition, like that. So then we get the whole superimposition is summed up in the form of nama, rupa and karma. The whole universe is nothing but name, form and function. And all the three are now further reduced to the physical body. And if we know how to handle our body, purify it, use it properly, then we progress. Then we develop discrimination and then we give up our identity with the physical body and identify with the gradually, step by step, pranamaya kosha, manomaya kosha, vijnanamaya kosha and anandamaya kosha. And slowly we identify going beyond all these panchakoshas, going beyond all the three bodies, stula, sukshma, karana, we understand I am Atman. I am first, everything is God. Second, I am that God. The whole universe is nothing but God. This is the essence of the first chapter of this Brihadaranyakopanishad. As I said, it is also called Madhukanda, means the whole universe is related. Every part is related to every part. Every part is connected with every other part. This is called the holistic view. And looking at it this way, we are able to look as one unit that is called Brahman or Atman. And the great Shankaracharya is one of the Acharyas and we are following closely. He had written several Bhashyams. And in this first chapter, we have several elaborate Bhashyams. So what is the first one? Even before starting this commentary on the Brihadaranyaka. He gives a Sambandha Bhashyam. He is the first Bhashyam. And for every Upanishad, he does the same thing. What is the Sambandha Bhashyam? And he says, he summarizes and he says, he takes up some important points and then thoroughly, threadbare discussion to tell us that the whole world is nothing but karma. And we are, what is bondage? Karma. What is the way to for liberation? Again karma. But karma is an instrument which should lead us to chitta shuddhi. That is why it is called karma yoga. By whatever name we call, karma yoga, bhakti yoga, raja yoga, jnana yoga, they are nothing but karma yoga only. Parts of karma yoga. For example, when we are using emotion as the main support in karma yoga, it is called bhakti yoga. When we are using our willpower, that is called raja yoga. When we are using our intellect as part of the most important part of the karma yoga, it is called jnana yoga. And when we are using our duties as befitting our birth, our age in life, etc., called varna dharmas and ashrama dharmas, if we can discharge them, these duties, then slowly we progress. That is called karma yoga. So, never ever think karma yoga means it is a separate yoga unrelated to bhakti, raja and jnana. No. No yoga can be separated. All fall under the action. A bhakta, a devotee has to work hard. A jnani has to work hard in the form of discrimination, controlling the mind, controlling the diet, etc. Everybody has to do that. And controlling the mind, that karma yoga is called raja yoga or mastery of the mind. So everything falls under karma yoga only. That is why Sri Ramakrishna says in the gospel, even to think that I am Brahman, even to meditate I am Brahman, that is also karma only. Nobody can escape karma, but through karma, one can get out of the karma, like the pole vault. So with the help of the pole, we rise high, cross the barrier, but we become separated from the very pole. So karma yoga makes us realize I am Brahman, and karmas drop away. So this is, he wants to tell that karma yoga is essential, but karma yoga should be understood properly. Karma yoga should lead to that true understanding that I am not the body mind. I have nothing to do with karma. I am the Atman. Why? Karma is meant to fulfill desires. All desires belong either to the body or mind. And when I don't have any desires because I am everything, then karma becomes useless. But karma should gradually lead us to that conclusion. This is called Sambandha Bhashya. Then some people doubt there was nothing, no God, no creation. Suddenly creation has come with a big bang. And for that, Shankaracharya takes it and says, no, everything must have a cause. But at first, before creation, the cause is in the form of unmanifest, unmanifested form, unmanifested name, unmanifested action. But it doesn't mean it is zero. It is non-existence. So for that, he takes the example of a pot. The pot cannot come into being without clay. But clay contains the pot already in an unmanifest form. What the potter does, doesn't create something outside the clay, but he fashions the clay with the help of a potter's wheel into a particular shape. Then it acquires a special form, acquires a special name, acquires a special utility. This is what he wants to establish. So in Sanskrit, a pot is called a ghata. And Shankara uses this word ghata umpteen number of times, and therefore it is called Ghatabhashya. This comes in the second section. And in the third section, we got Pramana Bhashya. What is Pramanam? That there are some people who doubt the very validity of the Vedas. So how to understand what is a Pramana? For that purpose, we have to take our direct experience and then inference, postulation, comparison, etc., including absence of an object, and that is beautifully discussed to establish that everything in Veda is a Pramana, including the Mahavakyas, etc. Then, in the fourth section, we get Pravesha Bhashya, Tat Srishtva, Tadeva, Anupravishat. God created, Brahman created and entered. What is the meaning of this entrance? So, a long discussion, but the essence of it is that Brahman is available inside our own heart. That availability of Brahman in the heart is called Brahman entering into the heart. Not physical entry, not intellectual entry, but we take it, is available. As Ramakrishna says, a Jamindar can be anywhere in his vast lands, but often he is found in his drawing room where he is easily available. So that is called Pravesha Bhashyam, elaborate discussion. Brahman created the world and entered. And what is this entry? Brahman's availability in the Jiva. That's all. Because we consider ourselves as Jiva. So by taking the support that Mahavakya, I am Brahman, we have to meditate upon Brahman in the cave of our own heart. Jyotira Jyoti Ujjvala Hridikandar Tumitama Bhanjanahar. This is the essence of the Pravesya Bhashyam. And in the seventh mantra, here itself, we get Vidya Sutra Bhashyam. What is Vidya Sutra Bhashyam? Aham Brahmasmi. I am alone Brahman. Brahma Atma Iti Eva Upasita. This is called Vidya Sutra. And then we get Avidya Sutra. What is Avidya Sutra? That I am separate from God, which means I am separate from everything else. That is called Avidya Sutra. And there is a beautiful, what is called, elaboration. Then there is a Mahavakya Bhashyam. We get in the fourth section, tenth section. So wherein that one of the Mahavakyas occur, Aham Brahmasmi. First chapter, fourth section, tenth mantra, Aham Brahmasmi. This Aham Brahmasmi, Jivatma, Paramatma Ikyam, was elaborately discussed and established. What is a Mahavakya? The individual and the universal, there are no such two things, they are but one. So there are some important mantras we have to understand. First mantra, Naivaiha Kinchana Agre Asit Mrutyuna Eva Idam Avrutam Asit. That is the famous mantra we get. So what does it mean? In the beginning, nothing is manifest. That means everything is in the form of the unmanifest. Then we get in the third section of the first chapter, Abhyaroha Mantraha. The famous, what is that? Asatoma Sadgamaya, Tamasoma Jyotirgamaya, Mrutyorma Amrutam Gamaya. And in the fourth, we get Atma Eva Idamagra Asit. At the beginning, there is only one existing, and that is called Atma, and he is called Purusha. So, he saw everywhere, and then he said, so aham asmiti, there is nobody. He did not see. The Atman did not see anything else other than the Atman. So, he said, aham asmi, I am. And all of us, that's why we use I am before adding anything else. And in the mantra 8th, in this fourth section again, we get a most marvelous psychological fact. Tadetat preyah putrat, preyo vittat, preyo anyasmat, sarvasmat, tad antarataram et ayamatma. The Atman is the closest, nearest, dearest to everybody, and anything that we do is only because we love the Atman. And when we do not get this Atman, we discard it. So, this Atman is dearer than one's own dearest child. It is dearer than any wealth, vitta, and it is dearest than everything else. Sarvasmat, anyasmat, antarataram, et ayam, atma. Then in the 10th mantra, 4th section only, Brahmava idam agre asit. In the beginning, Brahman was alone. Tad atmanameva aham brahmasmit. It knew, I am Brahman. Therefore, it knows I am everything. And whoever realizes, I am Brahman, I am everything, he becomes free from slavery to gods, to this body, to this mind, to the panchakoshas. And there were many people who had this realization. So, one of the rishis called Vamadevaha, he said after realization, Aham Manuhu, Aham Surya. I am Manu, I am Surya, I am everything else. Mantra 11. Brahmava idam agra asid ekameva. In the beginning, there was only Brahman, one without a second. So, mantra 17th also, more or less repeats this one. These are some of the important mantras we get. Now, from next class onwards, we will be entering into the second chapter. Essence of the second chapter, what is it? This chapter features most marvelous conversation between Ajatashatru and Gargya, which we will be seeing in our next class tomorrow. Om Jananim Shardam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapadmeta Yosritva Pranamami Mohur Mohoho. May Ramakrishna, Holy Mother and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with Bhakti. Jai Ramakrishna.